disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So somebody asked me the other day whether I missed coaching. It's a good question. I get it a lot. You know, I got thinking about it. Every time somebody asks me, you know, I reflect in a different way. I'm 65. Thinking back to some of the great football teams we had. Clear back in 1994. What a great football team that was. You have any idea how long ago that was? It's 24 years ago, if my math's right. 1995, we're undefeated in 1995. That's a great team. We're undefeated in 1999. That's almost 20 years ago. You know what I miss? And this is this is why I enjoyed what I do now. I think my greatest joy was watching a guy in the middle of the game when the heat of the battle was on, when he did what you had coached him to do, and it was successful. There was just something that was so, I can't even explain. There's little things that only a coach would notice, you know, like a guy who's playing the short side on a stack linebacker and the flow goes the other direction. They're running. Looks like they're running a sweep to the left, and he reads his key and checks. We tell him build a fence and don't take off too quick. Stay home and watch them run a reverse, come back, and you look at it on film, and there he is right where you coached him to be. Chopping his feet, building a fence, not flowing away, and stepping up and make the play. It'd be those little things. Oh, it makes my heart beat now. God, that was fun. And I got to tell you, I get the same thing here. The same feeling I got when I coached, I get here when I see people begin to use their gifts. And a lot of you don't know me, and some of you do know me. And yeah, I suppose I got a strong ego. Don't we all? I mean, that's what keeps us alive, having a strong ego. Some of us have false strong egos. We say, oh, well, I don't really want any attention, but we all really do crave that. But my greatest satisfaction comes out of watching other people put the play into action. I like seeing them get knocked down, get back up. Didn't work this time. Keep going, man. Come on, dude. You can do it. That's my joy. And I have it here. I could run down a litany. I'm looking at guys here in the queue this morning. I'm thinking of, goodness gracious, the way people are starting to step up and the way that they're beginning to exercise their gifts. I'm just reading in the chat over here. Rob Pugh, who's, by the way, he's one of those guys. My goodness, the way he plays. And I see him giving credit to Penny and Chad giving credit to Penny. And yeah, and Rob's saying, yeah, man, you have no idea, Chad. Penny's amazing. And the idea that we are all one body and many members and we all have unique gifts. Well, fellas, if we could ever get a grasp on that. So I'm still coaching. And a guy asked me yesterday, what did you coach? And I said, people. And then they chuckled because they understood it. But they want to know what sport I coach. Said, no, I coach people. That's my job. Hey, you notice got a new visor on, not a new one, but I just got a new Dale. Thanks for the heads up, but I found a guy locally that'll do them. So I just got a new stack of folks. Let me just be honest. This has been a slow month donation wise with Pass the Salt. I'm just going to be honest with you. We're not going under, but it's been slow. We got a lot of stuff on the horizon here that we're trying to make happen. It takes finances to do it, to fly people, to rent rooms, to do all that kind of stuff. It takes finances to do it. And I don't want to be one of those guys that comes and continue bangs you about money. I'm just telling you, it's been a slow fall. It happens all the time. People go on vacations and yeah, I understand. Kids are home. You're spending more money. I get it. And then you hit August, July, end of July and August, and you got kids going back to school and kids are going back to college and the demand of my, I get it, but that it always impacts us. So I'm saying that, but hey, how about getting a visor? Go online and make a donation and we'll send you a visor out. Now, if you go online and you make a donation and you want a visor, you got to tell us, because otherwise we're not going to know to do it. Okay. So I got, I don't know. I think I got 4 dozen of them. That's 50. I got 48. No, I got 47. Got one on my own. I have 47 of them. So boy, if I could get some of you out there to help, sure would appreciate. We're doing good stuff with it. Man, can I show you some stuff here? I want to talk about Judith Reisman and Kinsey Unveiled, or whatever the name of her book was. And I emailed her yesterday. She's 84 years old. She's the one that exposed Alfred Kinsey. And I'm going to come back to that here later in the show. But Judith Reisman has agreed to come on the show. I emailed her yesterday, and she says, "Oh, Coach, I love you. Follow what you do. Yada 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 yada." She's 84 years old, and she is overseas right now. She says, "As soon as I get back, I'd be honored to come on." So we got that to look forward to after I take the next couple of days and expose Kinsey. I go to my Facebook page real quick, Rob. I'm sorry, I was reading Rob as I said, Jared. Go to my Facebook page. I think I have it up there. Lexi, I hate to keep bragging on Lexi, but Lexi is, Lexi, I want you to know, if you're listening out there, sweetheart, I could not believe how well you wrote. Look at this one, by the way, pro-abort witch. That's the feminist. We've been telling you, right? Right there it is on a shirt. Pro-abort witch. Slide on down, Jared. Let's not give them any more publicity than they deserve. There it is. Look at that pretty smile. Rob Pugh posted on the WisconsinChristianNews.com, teen's life forever changed when she stepped outside the four walls. Go ahead and click on that, Jared. And I was, Lexi, I was impressed. I'm not going to take time to read it. You can find that at WisconsinChristianNews.com. Or Jared, maybe we can, let's link this on our own webpage. But Lexi just does it. It's very, very well written. And it's just kudos to you. Lexi, I grew up in church without knowing anything else. Went to church on Sunday, sang a few songs, listened to the pastor preach, and went home. Cycle continued for 15 years of my life. No questions asked. Then one day my mom showed me a video. Coach Dave has a talk show. Yeah, the coach talked about the lukewarm, seeker-friendly position that most Christian churches are in today. I took offense to almost everything he talked about, contradicted almost everything I thought to be true. Boom, next thing you know, she's out in the streets. It's a powerful, powerful written testimony. So tip of the hat to Lexi. We're proud of you, Lexi. And I'm going to always continue to consider you one of those little sheep under our wing. Amen. I'm proud of you. Chad Estes, Chad's got the big thing rocking and rolling in Moody, Texas. Chad, come on in here, man. Tell everybody again what for is on that one. If you're going to come, Chad needs to know it. I told you I'm going to get the calendar up tomorrow. I got some stuff I had to get to Jared today. We'll get all the calendar up tomorrow. Yes, we're having one here in Ohio on the 29th of September. I have some more information for you on that one as well. Are you there, Chad? You want to come in here and pipe in again? Just let people know what's going on.
Yes, sir. I'm in. Okay. Well, just ask everybody.
Chad, let me shut you up a minute, Chad. Chad's now the national director of the Salt and Light Brigade. So Chad is the guy who's going to coach others on how to do this. It's just there's only so many things I can do. And I'm going to try to help start brigades, but Chad's going to be the one, because Chad has done such a wonderful job there in Texas. So if you guys are out there interested in doing something like this, contact me and I'll put you in contact with Chad. Go ahead, Chad. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, it's your show. Do what you want. Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody, we're just going to, if you don't know, we're having the Greater Texas Salt and Light Brigade Assembly September 14th, 15th, and 16th. Kicks off on that 14th about 7 p.m. You can come a little early. If you come too early, though, I'm going to put you to work. Just let you know.
Attaboy.
I would ask everybody that's planning on coming that has not contacted me, if you're coming, please contact me. So I got a head count, so I know. So I'm at, I think, 50 people now. So I'm asking everybody also to bring a chair. And if you're driving, maybe if you have one of those canopies, like for outdoors or something like that.
You mean maybe a lawn chair, Chad? You mean a lawn chair when you say a chair?
Yeah, a lawn chair. Yeah, we're fine. If you can fit a recliner in your trunk, bring it. But it's gonna be. We're gonna have a great time. We're going to obviously cook out and stuff like that. But the fellowship's second to none. The food's second to none. And so, you know, the Bible study and all that kind of stuff. So we'll be doing a variety of different things.
Chad's doing an unbelievable job out there. Appreciate you, Chad. Hey, listen, Pastor Mike Spaulding, see you in here this morning, Pastor Mike. Because listen, here again, I don't want to take credit for all this stuff. So I don't want this to see. He's there. I don't want this to sound like I am. We have a lot of guys who are starting shows. You know, David Arthur's show is really doing great and really taking off. And Larry's doing a Bible study, and JR's got his radio program. And Dr. Mike Spaulding is going to start his own show. It's Monday, isn't it, Pastor Mike? Monday at 6. Come on in here, brother, and tell us about it. And Pastor Mike's written a fabulous book, Make Church Great Again. And there's a good.
Good morning, Coach.
I bang on pastors a lot. Pastor Mike's one of the good ones here in Lima, Ohio. Come on in, Mike. Tell us about that.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for the mention. Yeah, and please do take credit for that. Knowing you for the past several years and ministering with you has been a great encouragement to me to step out of the pulpit and not just teach this stuff to the folks in Lima and through the radio ministry and different articles that are published, but to actually do something live to attract other folks that have a lot of questions. People are wondering what in the world is going on, and it's time for us to step up and tell them exactly what's going on and give them plausible explanations so that they can take action. That's what it's all about. So thanks, Coach, for the encouragement.
And so your show's going to run when, Mike?
It's going to run on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Jared is going to engineer it, produce it, and host it. And so we'll have the huddle, and folks can be involved in the conversation. It isn't just me lecturing.
Amen. Interactive, baby. And it's always better. So, Pastor Mike, I apologize that I haven't promoted that harder. Soaring Eagle Radio. Pastor Mike has he has one of the few guys in America still. He has a land radio station, a real radio station that they broadcast out on, carries our program and other stuff. So I just salute Pastor Mike because he understands what this battle's about. We got to reach people, and they're doing everything that they can. So
thanks, Coach.
Yeah, bless you, brother. Appreciate it. Let me show you. I got. Listen, I'm heading to Judith Reisman. I promise you, I am. And Kinsey, try to expose some of that stuff to you. Kinsey Unmasked. But I got something else. I just got to show. I got an email from Jared. I think I forwarded it to you. I got an email from our buddy Simon over in, he's a Kiwi. That means New Zealand. I used to get that mixed up with Australia. Did I send that to you, Jared? Yeah. Okay, Jared's going, he sent this to me. Simon wouldn't care if I shared it. This isn't anything personal. He watched that interview, and I don't want to keep harping on that interview. But again, folks, I want to encourage you to engage. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the left. Don't be afraid of the God haters. The Lord will give you the mouth. He'll give you the words to say. Now, understand this. You can't be me, but you can be you. And as I always say when I'm coaching people, don't tell them what you don't know. Tell them what you know. Always take the argument to where you want to take it. And fellas, guys and girls, learn logic. Study logic. Because the left uses logical arguments to reach the ungodly decisions they're making. And that logic, it can be applied on our same side. And when you apply that logic on our side, it destroys them. They find they see the hypocrisy in their own argument. And I got a couple emails. I didn't try to in any way besmirch the using the word of God because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. But to a guy who does not believe the Bible, it is, his eyes are shut. Remember I talked about that the other day? He doesn't believe it. And you can throw that Bible at him all the time. He doesn't believe it. And then, you know, I didn't get a chance to answer some of these lies that these folks were saying, but we did a pretty good job of it. Here's what Owen said. Is it up on the screen there? I'm sorry, Jared. Let me find you. Owen, I'm sorry. Simon. Simon Says. What did Simon say? There's. I can't get my. I've had computer problems this morning. Here it is. I'm sorry. He said that interview you had with Radio Underland was fantastic. A couple of striking things I gleaned. Okay, this is Simon when he watched the interview. The compare of the show was practically totally on your side when you were actually there. He was putty in your hands. I think the host was disarmed. However, once you left the show, he went on to the Love, Love, Love Train Classic. Number two, those people in the back of the show only started to speak and criticize you after you had signed off, i.e., they knew you would shut their mouths because their arguments had no truth. Remember, it's truth, brothers. Truth never fails. The lesbian lookalike never said a word. She knew she didn't have a leg to stand on until I was off the show. Then she came outside and then she came at me. And number four, the First Nations guy's argument fell into complete heap of crap. You embarrassed him with truth and he shut up. Coach, I learned a lot from that interview. Truth trumps crap every time. Well said, huh? Truth trumps crap every time, baby. Thanks, Simon. That's the way I feel. So in that vein, I set up about a 5-minute clip. Somebody sent it to me today and said, man, coach, boy, are you right on here. So Jared, I think I sent that clip to you. If you can pull that up, it's about a 5-minute clip. And I'm aggressive. And yeah, I'm emotional. And yeah, I'm in their face. But see, I couldn't see them when I did this the other day. And so I'm watching this and I'm watching their reaction. Buddy, it's stunning. It is stunning. Can you pull that up there, Jared, and start it at the 48-minute mark? Okay. I'm sorry. I don't want to make this all about it, but I think that this is just a great, great. See, it's like when Lexi went to her pastor. When she went to her pastor and she gave her pastor truth, he didn't really have a lot to say. So here we got a guy over here on the left looking at your screen. I'm not making fun of these guys. I don't know them. He pipes in a lot. He is, by the way, he said at the beginning of the show he was raised in church. That ought to tell us something. He says he's a Native American. The girl beside him, I don't know anything about it. She is a church mouse until I leave. The guy in the black shirt on the microphone, he is the host. He's the one who's trying to carry it. And then the guy sitting to his right is, I don't even know any of these guys' names. But they see, this, folks, this shows you where you go without the Holy Spirit. You run into false logic and false truth, and nobody ever, when you hang around each other, it's like Washington talk. You talk, it's like talking to the prisoners. I had a guy say one time, the problem that you run into in jail is people spend all their time talking to the prisoners. I said, what do you mean? He says, you get locked up. All you do is end up hanging around people that don't have any idea how they got there and have no idea how to get out. You just spend all your time talking to the prisoners. Everybody in jail's innocent. And he said, you know, that's the way it is in the world. The liberals hang with the liberals. They all agree with each other, and nobody ever breaks through with the truth. It's in the religious world as well, right? In the Christian religious world, it's real. So I wanted to play about 5 minutes of this, not to show off, but to watch. Watch how these people are stripped naked using simple logic and not the word of God. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Just about 5 minutes.
Who? Well, give them 2 dozen.
They do. Animals.
Who? Pigs? Tell me another one. You have pigs?
Animals.
Tell me another one.
Period. Dogs. And there's all kinds of animals that eat their young in the wild.
I have a question for you. So there some people. This is Brandon. There are some people that are in the audience that are asking, what are your thoughts about same-sex couples adopting? Because there are some times whenever women cannot take care of their kids. There are people that.
Folks, I want you to watch their reaction. Don't get bogged down in watching me. Watch their reactions. Go ahead.
are able to take care of
Brandon,
the kids?
Do we really have to ask this question? I'm pretty sure we all know what Coach Dave's response
like
to this
to hear,
is going to be.
Hear his thoughts. I don't know.
I'm not, people but in the... you don't know why. How about this?
Okay.
Would you allow children to be adopted into a family of drug users?
Well, no. Tom,
why?
You? But see, you went. But you went to the exception. That's the exception.
Go to the exception. No, I didn't go to the exception.
That is the exception.
We want to place children in a morally sound home with an example of a mother and a father. And I'm going to tell you something. You mark this word. The day's coming when we are going to begin to see children's services be sued. It may be 20 years, it may be 25 years. We are going to see lawsuits come against children's services because the child's going to raise up and they're going to say, you know what? You placed me in a home with two women and you deprived me of the right to have a father. You had right to be able to do that. And I'm going to sue you because of it. Because listen, every child, we know this. Some parents are lousy parents, but every child deserves a mother and a father if our society is going to continue to thrive. Now listen, I understand that there might be some homosexuals who are better nurturing parents than heterosexuals. I get it. But see, I come back to that standard. Are we going to teach biblical standards or are we not going to teach biblical standards? And so
Yeah, but Dave, isn't it about love though? Like love and safety. Like there's plenty of.
It's not about love.
Hold on.
It's not about love.
But hold on.
It's not about.
Hold on. There's plenty of heterosexual parents out there that are shitty parents, and they're going to raise their kids in a shitty home.
Drug addicts.
Not even drug addicts. Just regular people that are just going to be shitty parents. But you're going to say that two homosexual people, because they're homosexual, don't have the capability. Because they're homosexual, and it's not within the Bible.
You didn't hear what I said.
I did hear what you said.
I said no, you didn't. Because I said that every child deserves a mother and a father. And just because some dads are lousy dads doesn't mean you don't put them in a home where there isn't any dad. And I'm smart enough to understand this also, that some single mothers are raising children, and it's hard. But why are single mothers raising children? Because the creepy dad dropped the ball, right? And why did the creepy dad drop the ball? Because Ronald Reagan, your great governor out there in California, gave us no-fault divorce. There used to be a time when you said, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, sickness and health, forsaking all others, for as long as we both shall live. I grew up with all of my friends. In my graduating class in 1971, there was one divorce family. One. Now, does that mean all the parents loved each other? Probably not, but they stayed together for the kids. Because when you have a kid, it becomes an obligation. And see what happens to us is because we've lost all morality, we have crappy parents.
I like the example that you use about the, 50 years ago, what happened and everybody stayed together. Are we talking about the same dads? No, they did. But the dad would also have four other families all around the fucking nation with kids and different mothers and shit like that because they were staying with their wives. They still floated off and did their own thing.
And they had other families.
Complete families.
That's because of sin. Hey, boys, it's sin. You can't legalize sin, but you can sure legalize, you can sure criminalize immorality.
Okay,
you can sure do that.
So you'd rather have a kid raised by a father that basically does adultery versus two homosexual parents?
That's a false choice. I don't want that. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. But I know this. I do not want I don't think we ought to place a child in a family where there's drugs. I don't think we ought to place a child in a family where there are alcohol parents, and I don't think that we ought to place a child in a family where there is deviant sexual behavior. Two men and two women. I don't think we should do it. Because you know why? I care more about the kids and the future of our nation and the following of a set of rules and regulations than I do about whether two men can feel complete because they get to have a child.
What happened to judge not lest you be judged?
Well, do you want to go there?
No, I'm just curious. Huh? I'm curious. This is we're having a conversation.
You sound very judgmental
right now.
Okay, hang on there, man, because I got my scripture right in front of me. That's Matthew 7, verse 1, by the way. I hear it all the time out on the street. Who are you to judge, right? You want to hear the rest of it? You want to hear what it says, really?
Be my guest.
It says, here we go. judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. So in other words,
karma.
if you're going to judge people for breaking up their marriage, don't break up yours. If your marriage is broke up, don't you be hypocritically criticizing somebody else. That's what that means. It doesn't say don't judge. The Bible says we're going to judge angels. You mean you don't judge? In fact, you're judging me.
Interpretation.
Right now, you think I'm some cowpoke that fell off the tree, off of the turnip truck. You're judging me right now.
You were judging me for what
my ancestors did to the Indians. You're judging me. Fellas, we judge all the time. That girl's pretty. Hey, I'd rather have Verizon than I would T-Mobile. Give me a steak. No, I want a pizza. We judge all the time. Boy, she's fat. Boy, she's skinny. Man, he looks good. Boy, he's smart. Boy, Trump's ugly. Boy, I wish we had Hillary. We judge all the time. You got to be crazy to not judge.
You can stop that joke.
All right, Dave.
I'm sorry, man. That is golden, isn't it? Is that ever golden? Because look at their faces. They don't know what to say. I just took their logic and turned it back on them. See? Oh my goodness. They can't wait for me to get off the show so they can say whatever they want to without any challenge. Guys, this ought to encourage us, man. This ought to encourage us. Let's not run from the battle. Let's run to the battle. I don't want to spend another show on this. Anybody have a comment at all? I mean, my goodness.
I'm proud of what you did. Now, you're not. It's not bragging, but you did a fantastic job. You took on six freaks, you know, on your lonesome, and you did a fantastic job. You should be proud.
Yep. Did you notice this? I didn't go to the Bible, guys, until he brought up the Bible. When he brought up the Bible, then I said, okay, let's go there. But see, I wasn't fighting them with scripture. I was fighting them with logic. And I can promise you this. Every one of those folks sitting there are scratching their head, thinking about some lie they had believed and maybe don't believe that lie quite as much as they did before.
One thing I noticed right away, Coach, was after the show, after you left, the host brought up right away that God loves everyone.
Yes, he did.
Love, because you cleared it, saying that God doesn't love everyone.
That's it. I did.
And that really bothered him a lot, because he brought that up as soon as you left.
Well, not only that, Serge, the God haters, they love to bring up how much God loves everybody. See, right. they're living a false lie, and somebody's got to tell them the truth.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Because there's one other point to bring up. What was all the feeling about these sodomites? You know, you're setting upon so much on the homosexuals.
Well, let me point this out to it, because this is, again, folks, we have to begin to train ourselves to hear false arguments, straw men, right? Now, did you notice this? They just they say, listen, nobody wants to put a child in a home where there's an alcoholic or a drug. Nobody wants to do that. So why can't we put them in with homosexuals, as if homosexuals aren't drug addicts, right? As if homosexuals aren't beer drinkers. That somehow when you become a homosexual, you are just righteous and pure and morals can be. That's a false argument, see? And so what we got to say to them is, listen, man, I'm not going to add another sin into the life of this child. Now, we're not going to introduce another sin. Not going to do that. We're not going to choose which sin is best for the kids. We're going to say no sin. As no sin. You with me? Don't let them drag us into those areas. Oh, Lord. Truth shall set you free.
Amen.
Thank you, Corey. If you get a chance to go back, you going to go back?
On that show?
You bet.
I hope they bring 100 of them. I hope they bring... Because they never tripped me up, not once. Then they didn't have me, not even close to being cornered. And you know,
they have never had nobody like you on that show.
Ever. Now, here's what we ought to do. I'm not going to do it here on the show, but you ought to go listen to the last half hour or so when I'm not on the show and hear their boldness come out then. See, in the midst of it, The righteous are as bold as lions. I was righteous, and I was bold, and they didn't know what to do. And those evil men flee. I wasn't even after them. I was just standing up and speaking, and they were running. That's the way it's supposed to operate. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Hey, Coach.
We should, hang on a minute, Paul. We should be going to our school boards. We should be standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. Why don't we? Go ahead, Paul.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, gotcha.
They're talking about you judging people. Well, they were judging you before you got on the show.
Yeah, it's, see, we got to point that out to them, right?
Yeah,
we got to point that out to them. And guys, listen, I'm proud that I judge. I'm proud. Don't cower from that. Show them in their own lives all the places they're making judgments. And I did it, then later on in this, I said, listen, I don't judge people. I judge their behavior. When a guy goes to court, you don't automatically think he's a murderer till you look at his behavior and then you judge the behavior. It's the behavior I'm judging, not the person. Don't fall in that trap. Yep.
You ought to invite them, one of them onto the huddle some morning.
Oh, Roger, I might try to do that. Because you know what? The guy that hosted it, he told me, in fact, he said it on the air there that he goes to church. He goes to church every Sunday. He was so foul-mouthed, I couldn't believe it. Now, if I had a chance to go back, I'd call him on it. I would, in a nice way. Man, they were foul-mouthed. That's all they know.
Great seed. Yes. On the huddle so we can water some.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see if one of them's bold enough to come on with me. We'll see. But see, here's what they'll say. Well, it's 4:30 in the morning. I ain't going to get up at 4:30 in the morning. No, they're probably not going to do it. Hey, guys, listen. Just step outside your door. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Yeah, George.
Coach, that was really good, too. A lot of Christians do this when you're arguing with them. They'll take a portion of Scripture, and then they'll use gain. And what you did is you opened up the Word, and you read context of that scripture that completely disarmed them. That was powerful.
Right. And George, I didn't use the scripture till they brought it up. Now I interjected scripture in there every once in a while. You know, I interjected it in there. They didn't even know it was scripture, but I would interject it. They didn't know it. But when that guy said, well, what about judge not, boy, in my mind, okay, baby, let's go. What does it say?
George, most of those folks calling them Christians that are using scripture against the truth that we are talk about and we discuss, those are, first of all, you and I both know they're not Christians. And second of all, they always use the world's interpretation of the scripture that most of those satanic socialists have accepted.
You know, Larry, the sad part is most of the Christians sitting in the pew would agree with them that we're not supposed to judge. See, it's crazy, isn't it?
That's, hey, Coach, that's because they don't contend because they're afraid that they will offend.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dale. And that's the worst sin you could have. Is if you offend them, they may not come to Christ. They may not become part of God. I feel like I'm going in circles. But, I mean, this played out so vividly right there in front of us for all of us to see.
Hey, Coach.
And so I don't know how I could take somebody smarter than me with more time. Some of those arguments ought to be segmented. That'll be segmented and shown in 5-minute segments. Boom, 5 minutes. Here's how you answer this. Boom, here's how you answer this. Boom. Because I think it's a good training thing. Yeah, Jared.
And just even on the judgment thing, I would posit that even Paul, right, when he was talking about, Lord, take this thing from me, and he asked three times, and God's like, no, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, right. I bet if Paul ran into somebody else who was doing that thing, he would still tell them not to do it too, even though he still struggled with it. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient for him. So,
Hey, Jared, understand this. When Paul was talking about this thorn in his side, it had nothing to do with a sin issue. Paul was dealing with a medical issue. He had stomach ailments. Paul was short and Paul was bald. And he was afraid that people would not receive his message because of what his appearance looked like. See, a lot of people wanted to go to the side that it was sin in his life, and it wasn't sin. Paul was like, Lord, take this stomach ailment from me. Take this health issue that I'm having. And in that, God said, in your weakness, I'm going to be perfected. In this, my grace is sufficient.
In fact, Dale, that's why he said, "My this body of death. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Because his body was breaking down on him. And even though he was talking about the spiritual man and the struggle in the flesh to fight against sin, the body of death he was talking about was the broken down automobile that he was riding around in daily. Look, yeah. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Man, that I could be free to go do what it is. That's the way I read it. People, you can, you know, and it's open for interpretation. But a point well taken. Anybody else?
Listen, brother, and it goes back to this mentality of these people going to the church. I watched the guy who's doing the videoing up in Ohio. His name is Todd, whatever. He had a link talking about Swingers for Christ. Brother, holy stinking cow. I saw this video and I'm listening to these people that they're winning people to Christ. And the lady comes out and says, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about swinging. And my wife, I was talking about this in the church. This is about the contend or offend. Yeah. And I said, adultery, fornication. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what the church has stooped to.
It is, man. It is. Now, that's what we're up against, right? We're up against it. We're still out here. We're still fighting. But I have to understand that many who claim to be on our side are not on our side. Isaiah 10, Jared. I got this from my wife this morning. Isaiah verse 10, give a little bit of scripture. I don't know about you. That was invigorating to me. Watching the power of truth. Not the fact that I was doing it, but watch the power of truth disarm them. And then you know what they said in the after show? Are you ready, fellas? It's always the same. My presentation. My presentation was full of hate. You know why they said it was full of hate? Because they couldn't open their freaking mouths and answer. That's why.
Pathetic, like always.
Truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. And I said a number of times, I don't hate the homo. I don't hate the drug addict. I don't hate the alcoholic. I hate what they do. I hate that sin. It's nothing personal. Over and over and over. And no matter how many times I said that, they could not separate the truth from the lie. And you know what the sad thing is? Really, the sad thing about the whole thing, if you watch it, is how pathetically lost they are. They're pathetically lost. But guys, we run into people like this every day on the streets. Now, understand, not everybody you run into is as aggressive or as bold in their pathetic lostness, but they're just as lost. If they would more than likely take the position of the people on that program. However, if they sat with me in the golf cart and we played 9 holes of golf together, they would agree with me when I logically took down every argument that they had. We can win these things, fellas. We can't shy away from them. We can't be afraid.
Amen, brother. That's right. We just got to take the charge. Take it to come.
Don't if it's war.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
Hey, coach. Yeah. It looks like as Christians – de-evolve or devolve, the arguments become lesser. They don't have, they have less and less substance, which means the scripture needed is less to overcome the arguments.
Is that ever true?
They don't know enough to argue even the surface points in the Bible. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. In other words, what Coach did is difficult, but it's a lot easier than it used to be.
Right.
It's a lot easier now for us because the Christians don't know anything.
Mm.
So their arguments are common. That's another thing. They're common arguments. So Coach has already heard the argument before. He knows the end. We can do that too eventually. I mean, it's just sad, Coach. Like you said, they're completely lost.
Yeah, so see, every one of them, I can tell you, promise you, every one of them on that show, if I mentioned pedophilia, they all were against it. But they weren't against homosexuality.
They're right? against they it against for now.
It. Yeah, they're against, against it for now. That's exactly right.
For they a short against, period of time. Right? Short right? period right? of time left.
And so it's the influence of the world on the church, see? It really, really is. Every one of those guys, they hated pedophile priests. They hated them. For now. For now. And we know that we know exactly where this argument's heading.
Hey, Coach, this is Jeff and Fallon.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I talked with anti-Trumpers, and I found out one of the ladies that are anti-Trump is a pastor's wife, an ordained minister in the Episcopal Church. And I read Romans 1, Matthew, John, 1 John to them, the truth. And in the end, when they got up to leave, it says, Jeff, no one in the area, no church in the area wants to accept you because of the way you are. And that was a flat out lie. That was a flat out lie. I do. If I found somebody, a church that accepts the position, the privilege that I have.
Yeah. Well, all they're trying to do is to make you, ridicule. They ridicule you. Yeah, if you're so far out there, nobody would think. They're just trying to ridicule you, right? And it's because they don't understand it and they don't get it and we can't. It is what it is, man. Listen, fellas, what we believe is time stamped, buddy. It's eternal. It goes on forever and ever. Opinions come and go. Opinions change. And we got to stand. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, quit trying to rationalize away what the Bible says. Just crack that dog open and let him bark. Not to explain him away. You don't have, you ever do this? Your dog, I'm watching my son's dog. He's at the door and somebody comes and knocks at the door and boy, he starts barking. What do I say? He doesn't bite. And they say, oh, are you sure? Yeah, he won't bite you. Oh yeah. Well, don't be afraid to bite. Don't be afraid to bark anyway. And put some bite into what's going on. Cool. Anybody else? I'm not trying to shut you up. I'm not trying to shut you up. This is a great, great learning tool. And truth is our greatest weapon. And we have to learn to be able to wield it effectively. That's the point I'm making.
And Coach, you're absolutely right. Somebody else just said that too. Because we're familiar.
It's a demon, I believe. Drug addiction. Once you shoot that thing in your arm, that's an addiction, baby. You don't think it isn't? Homosex is a spirit. It's an addiction. We won't call it what it is. We want to accept it. We want to love people in their addictions. Isaiah chapter 10. Am I there? My wife gave me this. In fact, Jared, let's go back a little bit. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. And then we're going to flow right into 10. But these all go together in my mind. Are you guys, know something's about to happen in the good old U.S. of A? You know something's about to happen. Now, I don't know if you're following QAnon, if you believe in any of that stuff. Kevin Bush, he sent me another great video. There's all kinds of great videos out there. I mean, just all kinds of good stuff. And if you, the things that are coming upon the United States of America, if QAnon and those guys are telling us the truth, if some arrests actually confirmed 4,500 sealed documents, and this is against politically connected people. Okay. If we really begin to see the clearing out of the swamp, you have any idea the hell it's going to break loose? I can't emphasize this to you enough. You know, the deep state, they're in charge of everything. You understand that, don't you? They're in charge of everything. They begin to lose their power, do you think that they're just going to roll over and say, oh, okay. What are you showing me, Jared? Oh, yeah, Donald Trump tweeted today. Was it today? Yeah, 8 hours ago. I'm draining the swamp. And the swamp is trying to fight back. Don't worry. We will win. Listen, I'm telling you, there's calamity coming, whether it's a false flag. What? Don't ever forget that the left is demonically charged, demonically driven. And those demons, did you guys watch, did you watch at all the hearings of Kavanaugh? First of all, they ought to just go ahead and vote right now because there ain't nobody going to change their vote. There ain't nobody going to change. They all just go ahead and vote right now. But did you see the manifestation of the demons in that courtroom? People squealing and yelling, and they don't even know what they're screaming and yelling over. Folks, it is it's the manifestation of the spirit world. It's happening right in front of us. We don't recognize it. Yeah.
They know the party's over. They know the party's over. That's why they're losing it. But I want people to understand one other thing. You mentioned about false flags. Think about what next Tuesday is. Next Tuesday.
9-1-1, huh?
Yes.
Well, Coach Rusty said it the best at the funeral. America has made a covenant with death. And I add to that, America has made a covenant not only with death, but with sexual deviancy and
perversion. Amen, brother. Amen.
We're going to, there's something we're going to have to deal with.
Let me pull this right out of my ear here. The DACA demonoia, doctrines of devils, baby. It's breaking loose like we ain't never seen it yet, Jared.
And to Pastor Dale, you know, the only thing that you guys are getting shut down for is the sex stuff. That's the only thing. You can talk about whatever you want, but if you talk about the homosexual deviancy, they block you. They freak out. They block you. That's the issue.
That's the tip of their spear, isn't it? It's the tip of their spear.
Amen.
I noticed that Chris Kane said it's 50,000 indictments. Not 4,500, 50,000 sealed indictments. And by the way, I watched a video yesterday where a guy took us to a website, a government website, and showed from the courts, from the Department of Justice, the 45,000 sealed indictments. Not who they are, but there they are. But folks, there is something getting ready to happen. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to look like, but be on your toes. George.
Yeah, and I think it's great. I've gotten some of the stuff from Kevin, and I think that's great, and pray that these indictments happen and people go to jail. But I'm down at that abortion clinic, Coach. I was talking with a brother yesterday, with Dustin, about it. That innocent blood is crying out to God from the ground, and that's something as a nation we have not dealt with. And we're kidding ourselves if we think Donald Trump and whoever is going to clean out this country. You're right. People better get ready, because I'll tell you, as big a swamp as what's in Washington, that's the apostate Christian church in America. And that hasn't even begun to get cleaned up yet.
Hey, George, do you guys understand that the whole Kavanaugh hearing is over bloodlust? But they would just come right out and just say it. They don't want Kavanaugh on there because of abortion. Abortion is the issue. Now, folks, if abortion is so important to them, perhaps we ought to investigate why. Why is abortion so important to them? It is driving the entire demonic agenda in America, abortion. And let me ask you another one. If it's not a big deal, why won't the Republicans end it? Because they know it is a big deal. And a lot of them, pardon me, don't have the stones to step up and do it, because they understand the danger, the viciousness, the deadliness of that other team. They understand it.
Hey, Coach, here's the spiritual understanding. When you read Psalms 1, trees planted by water, because water brings forth the fruit out of the tree. For them, it is the blood of the innocent babies that bring forth their perverted fruit out of their tree.
Brother, I'm telling you. Listen, I got to get into some Bible here, or Roger will get mad if we don't have any.
The blood is currency. Innocent blood is currency.
It is. It's fun. Financing the whole thing in the spiritual realm. So I'm in, what did I say? Isaiah chapter 9, my wife. This is another amazing thing. My sweetheart, my wife gets up. She got up a couple of hours up early this morning. She got up hour and a half after me, and she came walking out. She says, "Honey, listen to this." And she starts reading from Isaiah 9. And underlined in my Bible is the same thing she was reading to me. And I wrote down, "Flip." That's Flip Benham. 8/29/2010. So what my wife read to me this morning, Flip Benham read to me 8/29/2010. That gives me goosebumps. I don't know about you guys. Verse 9 of Isaiah 9. I'm sorry, Jared. Let me get up on the screens and get my head out of my own Bible here, so make sure everybody's following along. And all the people shall know. No, verse 8. Are you in 9, Jared? Yeah, 9. There you go. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim, and all the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of the heart. He's speaking to the church. The bricks are falling down. The bricks are falling down. But we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down. The sycamores represent the aged, wise people. The sycamores are cut down, but we'll change them into cedars. Therefore, the Lord said, shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smite them. Neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. Something's coming. The ancient honorable, he is the head. And the prophet that teaches lies, he's the tail. And a lot of prophets teaching lies. For the leaders of this people cause them to err. And they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men. Boy, oh boy, Lord help us. Neither shall he have mercy on their fatherless and widows. You can read throughout the Bible and you'll never hear him talk about the motherless, always the fatherless. Neither shall they have mercy on their fatherless and the widows. And I say a widow is someone whose husband has left. That's a widow in my mind. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out. For wickedness burneth as the fire. Look around us. It shall devour the briars and the thorns. It shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting of the smoke. Through the wrath of God of hosts is the land darkened. The people shall be as the fuel of the fire, and no man shall spare his brother. He shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. And he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out. Hang on, verse 10, about done. Woe unto them. Remember, no title breaks, no paragraphs, no title breaks, no chapters. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees. I'm not paused. I'm letting it sink there. Woe unto those that decree unrighteous decrees. That right grievous which they have prescribed. Turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless.
You're talking about the swamp.
Yes, sir. Talking about the swamp. And what will you do in the day of visitation? Ooh, Lord, I felt that one. and in the desolation which shall come from far. You better buckle up. To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? For without me, they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all of this, his anger is not turned away, but still his hand is stretched out. So woe to them that decry righteous decrees. Fellas, I'm telling you, as sure as I'm sitting there, something is coming like we're not even going to be able to imagine. And that's why Chad's been harping and harping, and I don't say much about it because I'm not a fear monger. I'm not into fear porn. Hear me. Get some food. Go today and get some food. Get some water. Get some necessities. Some things are going to sustain you, maybe for a week. Who knows, whatever happens. If the economic system goes down, Kroger's ain't going to be open. Walmart ain't going to have any food. And I don't know what will happen after that initial 7-day, 10-day, 2-week period. I don't know what I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's on the other side of it. But what we are going to see, and it isn't going to look good, we are going to see the judgment of God fall on America. So we're going to see it. We are going to witness the judgment of God fall upon America. Now, I don't think it's not the final falling, but we're going to see it. You're going to live. You are going to see it. And I would say your hearts aren't prepared for that. So this is kind of a conclusion this morning. But we got to get our hearts ready. Somebody, come on in.
Hey, Coach. I believe this is coming worldwide. And I would say to anybody on this queue or anybody, go learn how to fish. Go get your fishing pole. Huh. My goodness. Go be able to provide for your family. How simple is that?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Hey, I got a comment. Why don't we teach kids how to farm again? How about that?
Yeah. Why don't we teach kids to be kids again?
I mean, the problem is, Vinny, if you teach them right now how to farm, it's going to be a while before those crops come up. Not that there's a problem with that. I think that's a great thing. But if you want to put food on the table today, you better go learn how to fish and hunt.
Oh, yeah. But they should learn how to do all that stuff. And, you know, learn.
Absolutely.
And how do you farm?
Yeah, how to make clean drinking water.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you farm with a cell phone in your hand?
You don't.
Well, listen, I'm serious. You can buy food. You can buy food. And you say, well, that's not really going to help you. No, but it'll give you a fight chance. It will give you a fight. Keep your gas tanks full. If you're like me, my wife, we run them to empty, then fill them up. Top them off. Just continue to top them off.
Dave, I just want to add one more thing in there, is that the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you.
That's right.
One way or the other.
And the harder it will be to find it. Now, Trump is warning us. He told us he's draining the swamp. He told us he is draining the swamp. Boys, the swamp ain't going to drain without a fight. Got to get a plunger, probably, right? And so we are right now, man, you understand that the fiscal year resets October 1st. Do you understand the debt situation around the world? Do you understand really what's going on? Even though the stock market's good, the economy appears to be good, do you all understand it's on sinking sand? Hey, look up for our redemption draweth nigh. Be prepared. Think about the ones that didn't keep their lamps trimmed, didn't keep oil in those lamps. Just be wise. Just be wise. Go out this weekend and get yourself some food. Put it in your pantry and just eat it down. Keep replenishing it. You'll be glad you did. God bless you. What a time to be alive. See you tomorrow.